Welcome to a special edition of the Tortoise Quick Take podcast. Thank you for joining us. Today, Tortoise's Managing Director, Ed Russell, talks with Spectra Energy CEO, Greg Ebel, about Spectra and his thoughts on the broader midstream energy sector.
Greg, thanks for joining us today. I just have a few questions for you. Based on your current share price, what do you think the market's saying about Spectra Energy Corp and Spectra Energy Partners, their distributions, and the market's general outlook compared to your peers?
Sure. So thanks, Ed. Appreciate being here. We are outperforming year-to-date versus the peer, and I'd expect that to continue. So I think this says a few things. First, I think the market overreacted in 2015 to the entire energy sector being challenged, and it's not one entire sector, so we're starting to see that shake out. Secondly, I think the market is starting to differentiate between energy players and between different segments of midstream, favoring those companies that, like SE, have a lower risk profile and SEP as well. And I think we help bolster that sentiment with our three-year plan, and I'd reiterate a three-year plan for both SE and SEP that we rolled out in early February. First of all, very few other midstream companies have three-year plans that are out there public. And ours was actually stronger, the three-year plan, 2016 to 2018, than the one we laid out for investors in 2015 to 17, both for SE and SEP. So I think the market is starting to recognize companies like SE and SEP with stronger dividend and distribution coverage. We're actually up 20 to 30% over the plan we laid out in 2015 for 3 years. And the market is starting to recognize companies like SE and SEP with better liquidity and capital markets access, which implies a more competitive cost of capital, hence better relative returns and opportunities. I think the market's also starting to recognize that, say, SE and SEP are the kind of company that they like to see because they've got solid investment-grade positions. And, again, I believe that this differentiating view will be further recognized by investors as the year goes along and into 2017 if a lower-for-longer commodity cycle persists.
Okay, great. Now, you mentioned your three-year plan, and when I look at both SE and SEP, you're both, as of this recording, trading under a 5.5% yield. What's your thoughts on the company's current share price, and is there anything out there that the market is missing when they're coming to that price?
Well, I think it is missing a few things, and let me focus on four areas, because you're right, it's the stock's done pretty well, both, and the units have done pretty well. But I would argue, and I'm sure you're not surprised if I think the price is not where it should be, and there's four things that I think the market still needs to recognize and will over time. And the first one is the quality of the $6 to $8 billion at SEP and SE, respectively, are projects that we actually have in execution as we speak. 80% of those projects are demand pull. In other words, they're utilities or utilities, industrials, power gen at SEP. And 75% of the projects at SE overall are demand. That's one. Two, good project execution. You know, like everybody in the sector, and particularly on the pipeline side, we see a tough regulatory and siting environment. But we've been able to continue to have a solid track record of delivering our projects within the time plans that we laid out for our customers. You see that in projects in past years like New Jersey, New York, Open, Uniontown to Gas City, Dawn Parkway, and projects that are in execution today are on track as well. Just this year alone, or in the last 6 months, call it Nexus, which is a key project moving Marcellus and Utica gas into Ontario, received approval of the key customers' utilities, regulatory approval for those contracts. The Stable Trail project, which is probably the largest project we're executing on now, which is a multi-billion dollar project into Florida with both FPL, NextEra, and Duke. It just received its FERC certificate and earlier this quarter, and therefore is on plan to meet its in-service dates. And then in the Northeast and New England, our AIM project and Atlantic Bridge, AIM is in construction and proceeding as planned, even having gone through rehearings. And Atlantic Bridge just received its notice of the schedule on the environmental front from FERC, very much in line with what we had expected. So I think those are key points. The third thing is the strong investment grade or collateralized customers. So not only is Spectra Energy and Spectra Energy Partners good investment grade entities, but our customers are. And 90% of SE and 95% of SEP customers are either investment grade or collateralized. And again, I think this underlines the strength of our demand pull customers. We deliver where the product goes, in other words, gas and oil, where it's used and consumed, not just from the supply area. So you've got to have both ends of that pipe. And not all companies have SE or SEP's substantial first and last mile advantage. And then the fourth thing is, I'd say it's just the steady, reliable dividend and distribution growth at SE and SEP through 28, with better coverage levels than previously provided investors. Very much a differentiator, as many of our peers actually lowered expectations in 2016 and beyond.
Great. That's very helpful. Just in the last question is kind of in regard to your outlook for 2016, and this may be a little unfair, but kind of asking you to talk a little bit about it from the perspective of the entire midstream pipeline / MLP, midstream MLP sector. You kind of give your thoughts on what you see happening here in the coming year. There's a couple things that we talk about, and you addressed one very specifically for Spectre, was counterparty risk for the midstream sector. But the other thing that's obviously on people's mind is commodity price volatility and what effect that'll have on the sector in a whole. Can you just share some of your general thoughts about the outlook for 16?
Sure. But, you know, maybe the first thing I would say that we've probably done a disservice to the industry has done a disservice and maybe investors of calling this sector midstream, because midstream is not a single sector. It is, you know, you may be in the gathering and processing side, so you're very close to the wellhead. You may be supply push pipes, or you may be demand pipes, and you may be gas, NGL, or oil. And we're largely gas pipes and largely demand side driven. So that's a very different element many people find in the sector. And I think it will be challenging for the sector for several reasons. First of all, some for M&A reasons, you know, some tough transactions out there, and I think that creates a bit of a challenge for some of our peers and the sector. Some folks are going to be challenged because they've got a lot more commodity exposure than either they or their investors or perhaps both realized. Some are going to be more challenged because they're too close to the wellhead. Again, I think you don't want to just be on the supply side. You've got to be where the lights are, or you're going to have some challenges. And some folks are going to be challenged because of difficulty accessing capital markets, whether it's debt capital markets or equity capital markets. And not everybody has a Spectre Energy structure, which we think over time has served us very well by having both common equity and MLP equity. You combine that with investment-grade balance sheets, and that's a very fortunate spot to be in. And again, I think because of some of those challenges I think some people have in the MLP sector and in the midstream sector, it really lets strong players like SE and SEP have better competitive advantages and take advantage of those to serve our customers with organic growth, which we talked about earlier, and perhaps pick up assets at lower than historic prices, although, to be clear, either Spectre Energy or Spectre Energy Partners needs to do that to hit its plan. But we have had good success in the past in finding opportunities to pick up assets in sometimes challenging markets and be able to make those work for us. So I think that's going to be an important part of this. You mentioned commodity. Again, it's important to point out that SE and SEP have very little direct or near-term commodity price exposure. And again, this is due to the fact that we're largely demand-driven in our portfolio, and the contract structures of our pipelines are very long dated. I think in the U.S. we run 10 or 11-year average contract lives, and you're not taking on the volume or the commodity risk. We have one element of exposure, and that's at DCP, which is a joint venture with Phillips 66. Very minor exposure for us, and importantly, that entity has probably since late 2014 taken very strong measures to ensure that it can live through a downturn. One, cost reductions, which have been pretty substantial. Contract realignment, in other words, getting more fee-based as opposed to commodity-based. And both debt and capital reductions. So overall, they've taken their break-even price for NGLs, the largest producer of NGLs in the country, down to 35 cents from 60 to 65 cents, say, 18 months ago. So that's the only exposure we would have, but I think you'll find a lot of other folks may have more than that. And I guess the bottom line is that both SE and SEP and I'd probably say it in three words, are stable, reliable, and disciplined. Stable in various cycles, economic or commodity. You know, we go where the lights are, and hence 95% renewal rates on our pipes. Reliable in that the dividend and distribution growth promises are realistic and steady. It's been the same 14 cents per share at FE and a penny a quarter per unit at FEP since 2014. That has not changed. And then discipline. You know, we have prudent balance sheet and financial management and capital deployment, regardless of whether it's organic or occasionally through M&A. And I think that conservative approach has really left us in a pretty strong position.
Well, Greg, thank you for joining us. We appreciate it. This is part three of a three-part special podcast that we did, and we hope that everyone appreciated it. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us, and stay tuned for our next cast. Have topics you want covered or other feedback to share? Write us at info@tortoiseadvisors.com. Nothing contained in this communication constitutes tax, legal, or investment advice. Investors must consult their tax advisor or legal counsel for advice and information concerning their particular situation. This podcast contains certain statements that may include forward-looking statements. All statements other than statements of historical fact included herein are forward-looking statements. Although Tortoise Capital Advisors believes that the expectations reflected in these forward-looking statements are reasonable, they do involve assumptions, risks, and uncertainties, and these expectations may prove to be incorrect. Actual events could differ materially from those anticipated in these forward-looking statements as a result of a variety of factors. You should not place undue reliance on these forward-looking statements. This podcast reflects our views and opinions as of the date herein, which are subject to change at any time based on market and other conditions. We disclaim any responsibility to update these views. These views should not be relied on as investment advice or an indication of trading intent.